Welcome to You Are From God, where we open the Bible and learn to see the image of God in ourselves and the people around us. I'm Scott Taylor.
And I'm Tyler Hall. Thanks for joining us today.
You know, a lot of times today, Scott, we will place our understanding of worth or value or how important we are on things that are easily measurable. So you can look at something that says, let's calculate your net worth. And it's very much just defined in dollars and cents. You know, here's all the things that are liabilities. Here are the things that are your assets. Here's liquidity. And then you get this figure that says, okay, right now, today, this is how much money you're worth. And that's a number that we could define ourselves by. We can look at things like our social media engagement, and we can look at how many people like or share or subscribe to the things that we put out for the world to see. And if we invest ourselves in that, our sense of self-identity and worth is tied to how much people respond to those things. And there's obviously any number of things that we can tie that to, but a lot of these go back to things that are created rather than the one who made all those things as well as us. And so today, we want to take ourselves and you, listener, back to the big picture and understanding just how much value God has given to us because of how he has made us.
Yeah, no, the interesting thing with that, Tyler, is that if we have a perspective of value and it's based off the things that we have, it's very easy, as you see in the world, to not think that you're valuable at all. Mm-hmm. And as we're going to see, and you know, obviously we think of Psalm 8, and that's where we're going to turn to in just a minute, it's just a powerful lesson for us to understand what our true value is because of God and what he has done for us. And David understood this. Just a background, David had Mephibosheth, who was Jonathan's son, come to him, and David was showing him grace and mercy, and he was being so kind to him that Mephibosheth says, "What am I? Who am I that you would do this to?" And really, you see that same point that David takes that and really makes it even grander. And it's the understanding of looking at God and what God has done for us. And Psalm 8 starts off by saying, "Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have displayed your splendor above the heavens. From the mouths of infants and nursing babes, you have established strength because of your enemies to do away with the enemy and the revengeful. When I consider your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you think of him, and a son of man that you are concerned about him? Yet you have made him a little lower than God, and you crown him with glory and majesty. You have him rule over the works of your hands. You have put everything under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the animals of the field, the birds of the sky, and the fish in the seas, whatever passes through the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." And Tyler, I think we can all understand when you've been out someplace where you can actually see the sky. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so we have to get away from the cities. And you really look up and you see how beautiful the stars are. But then you realize how small we are. And it's amazing that when you view it from that perspective, that God even thinks of us. But not only does he think of us, he has given us value to be the sort of the bright, shining star of his creation. We are the value of his creation. We're the ones that he thinks of. He knows us. He was willing to send his son to die for us, as we're going to talk about. And it's amazing when you really stop and think about how he views us. And then when it comes to us, whether or not we're viewing ourselves in the same manner, not in arrogance, you know, but it's understanding that God loves us so much and has been willing to do so much for us that he views us that way. And what great value that comes with that in being his child and having a spirit as his.
Yeah, and it's, you see it here in this psalm where God's made us a little bit lower than himself, than the spiritual beings, the angels. And all the things that he's given to man to rule over the earth. Obviously, the rule is under God's control and he's all sovereign, but he gives us this responsibility and he points to all these different things that are created. And it reminds me of what we were studying today in the Thursday class, Scott, with Colossians 1, where you've got this great overview of just how big Jesus is. He's the image of the invisible God, and that this phrase that keeps coming up is all things, he's before all things, and in him all things hold together, and he's reconciling all things back to the Father through the peace that's offered through the blood of his cross. And I love right after that section that it's almost like you get this huge scope of like the universe, and then the next word is, "and you." It takes this God who is infinite and huge and so much bigger than we can possibly comprehend and brings him down to our level, which is what he does with Jesus. He makes this invisible God accessible to us through the person of Christ. And this God in the flesh interaction that he has with people and the lessons that he's recorded and the teaching that he does. And so we have this opportunity to understand just how much value we as individuals have in the eyes of our Father. And I think when you look at Psalm 8, you know, we again don't necessarily calculate worth by sheep and oxen and the birds and the fish, but he's given us care for all these things, this world that we live in. But so much so we want to trade ourselves to own these things or to do these things. And God says we've got it backwards. I think Jesus teaches this most succinctly and clearly over in Mark chapter 8. If you remember in Mark 8, Jesus, he's going through the teaching with his disciples. He's fed the 4,000. He's been healing the blind. He's warning them about the Pharisees. And he gets to this point where the crowd is following him, his disciples are following him, and he's trying to make it very clear to them what it means to be like Christ, what it means to follow him. And in Mark chapter 8, I'm going to read this for us in verses 34 through 38. Calling the crowd along with his disciples, Jesus said to them, "If anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life because of me and the gospel will save it. For what does it benefit someone to gain the whole world and yet lose his life? What can anyone give in exchange for his life? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Now, this Christian Standard translation is talking about life, but in most translations, that idea is rendered soul, this eternal part of us that's going to carry on, for better or for worse, into eternity. And so Jesus here is making it so clear. If you're going to follow me, you have to understand the value of the soul that Jesus himself has played a part in giving us. He gives it the value that we have, and that he understands the temptation that we struggle with. First and foremost, you make it very clear. He says, look, people will say, if I could gain the whole world, he talks about forfeiting your soul. You're going to trade, but that idea of forfeit is a loss. So you might look at the world and say, anything you could possibly imagine that you'd want, if you just achieved this or got access to this or owned this thing, then you would be set. That's the purpose of life. And Jesus says, even if you had all of it, it doesn't compare to what you already have, which is this immortal soul knit together by the Father, destined to be with him, but we can choose to leave him. And so Jesus warns the people that are following him, and he warns us by extension. We cannot get caught up in what culture around us or what mankind or what anybody else says truly has value, because the amazing thing is we already have it just by the fact that we are living and that we're made by God.
Well, it's interesting when you go on to 37 to that point is that when you understand the value of your soul, there's nothing that you can exchange that's going to be of the same value or greater value with that. So whether it's Judas getting 30 pieces of silver when he betrays Jesus, and there are people that do that still today, to your point, and understanding the value of our soul and understanding the significance of Jesus saying that I'm going to be ashamed of you if you're ashamed of me and not willing to pick up your cross and follow me is so powerful. To your point, when you talk about the idea of gaining the whole world, that's a lot. I mean, Jesus was offered this when he was tempted by Satan. I'll give this to you, and you don't even have to die. You don't have to go through all those things. And Jesus tells him, you can't put the Lord God to the test. It's understanding that there's no value and the other things compared to our soul. And that's the problem, Tyler, that we run into so often, is that we view success, as you started off with just the wrong lens. We view it from a physical perspective rather than understanding that we have the opportunity to be his children. You are from God, as we're talking about in this podcast. And it's such an important lesson for all of us to really remember what Jesus and how God views us.
And I think you see that especially when Christ, as he's teaching these things, just very much makes it clear that this is a countercultural, counterintuitive command. Do you want to save your life? Well, you're going to lose it if you're going to try to live for this world. If you're going to lose your life for the sake of Jesus and for the sake of the gospel, you're actually going to gain it. And so Jesus, again, in part of this, is telling us we have to change the way we think about these things. And it's not changing it to something different. It's changing it back to the way it's supposed to be. And I think that's where a lot of us get caught up in thinking, well, I've always been raised or taught or influenced to see, well, if I've got X number of dollars in the bank, I'm good, I'm comfortable. And understanding that, you know, I don't have as much value if I'm not doing this or I'm not accomplishing this or I'm not participating in something that I've associated with. And the fact of the matter is God says you have value just because you are made in his image. And that's something we talked about last time. You know, Scott, I do just want to briefly bring up Psalm 49 here, because I think it's telling to this idea of exchanging one's soul for valuable things and the idea of ransoming. This is something that comes up in the gospel, the idea that Jesus is the ransom payment for us. We're indebted to sin. The wages of sin is death, but he's the free gift of God, this life that comes through Jesus and letting him pay that debt for us. But in Psalm 49, before all that, this, to me, I read it as messianic prophecy. You see, the sons of Korah write in verse 5, "Why should I fear in times of trouble? The iniquity of my foes surrounds me. They trust in their wealth and boast of their abundant riches. Yet these cannot redeem a person or pay his ransom to God. Since the price of redeeming him is too costly, one should forever stop trying so that he may live forever and not see the pit." The idea is we try to put all of our trust in wealth and things. We think, I'm going to live forever. And we just never assume that tomorrow or today could be our last day. When God says, if you really want to make sure that you don't forfeit your soul, you need to give it back to the one who made it. You need to, as Jesus says here, take up your cross and follow the one who is the image of the invisible God. Now, it's fascinating that Jesus even says that here, because we just kind of read it as 21st century Christians and see him talking about the cross, and it's like, oh yeah, Jesus and the cross. But this is before he's experienced the cross. The people who are listening to him here in Mark 8, they're hearing him bring up a Roman torture device. And he says, you need to pick it up and carry it and follow me. So in addition to what he's just talked about before this, the fact that he is going to be killed, now he's alluding to how it's going to happen. But he's saying, look, this is about self-sacrifice. This is about realizing the whole purpose, what gives your life value, is the connection with God. And if we are ashamed of that, if we don't see God as worthy or see the worth of having the relationship with God, then Jesus says, I'm going to be ashamed of you. You're ashamed of me. I'm going to be ashamed of you. And in a parallel passage in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 27, precisely, Jesus will add to this and say that when he comes, he's repaying each person according to what he has done. So it's coming out not just how we think, but the way we live our lives, the choices we make, the decisions we make, and the actions that we take or don't take. It all comes down to how we have this connection with God and how we understand his worth and by extension our own worth.
It's understanding what I think Paul in Ephesians, the second chapter, is so beautifully written when it talks about what God was willing to do for us, that we were dead in our trespasses and sins, he starts off talking about. And because of God's grace, because he loves us so much, he's rich in his mercy, as it says in verse 4, he was willing to send his son to make us alive in Christ. And so you have this conversation that goes on about being saved by his grace. It's because of him that we have the opportunity for salvation. It's because of him that we have value in all that he is willing to do for us. And then in verse 9, Tyler, it is such a beautiful passage. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in him. The word workmanship here is masterpiece. And just stop and think about that for a minute. It's one thing to talk about this from a big picture thing. Humans, you're his masterpiece. But when you make this an individual thing, and we view ourselves that you, listener, us, we are his masterpiece. We are exactly what he wants us to be. We have differences, obviously. There's different talents that people have, but there's benefit in who you are and who I am because we have a soul. And we have a father who loves us so much that he sent his son to die for us and that we're his masterpiece. You understand your value. You're going to be told throughout the world that you're not valuable. You're not worthy of things. God says you are worthy, and you're worthy simply because he said you are, and we have the opportunity to have that relationship with him, as we talked about last week with his origin and just understanding who we are as his children. We are so blessed, and hopefully that's something that we can think about this week, just really focusing on the fact that you are of value and what that really means in your life and how important that is to wake up every single day and just to think about how blessed we are to be his children.
Thanks for listening. Show your support by leaving a review on your podcast app and share this episode with someone you want to encourage. If you have questions or would like to get in touch with us, go to youarefromgod.com. That's youarefromgod.com.